don't love you back. Stay tuned every Wednesday at 11:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 8:30 Pacific, with your host, Boyd and Lucinda, for the hottest talk show in existence. The streets don't love you back.
I gotta do right before they call me home.
Good evening and welcome to the Streets Don't Love You Back show. Today is January 25th, 2012. I'm your host, Lucinda, with my co-host, Boyd. And our topic is, as always, the Streets Don't Love You Back. Join us every Wednesday night with real people, real stories, and real changes as we hear the truth about gangs, drugs, violence, abuse, and other life issues. We have an awesome show for you tonight. We have Mr. Steve Martorano, also known as the godfather of Italian-American cooking, and known for his motto, Yo Cuz. Steve grew up in South Philly. His uncle was Raymond Long John Martorano of the Philly mob. So Steve knows a lot about the street life, but he chose to do something different. After spinning records for a few years as a DJ in the 70s, he opened up his first delivery sandwich shop in his own apartment. He was a one-man show with an increasingly popular business. His sandwiches became such a hit in South Philly that Martorano outgrew his space and opened a takeout restaurant in a strip mall. Here, Martorano made pizza, sandwiches, pasta dishes, and homemade water ice. A few years later, the demand outgrew his location and Martorano moved to a freestanding sit-down restaurant. In the early 90s, the U.S. history, as it took a turn for the worst, he lost everything, and he knew it was time for a change. So he moved to Fort Lauderdale, Florida, and with about $40 in his pocket, he opened up a restaurant in Oakland Park, and he named it Cafe Martorano. So he's been there for many years. He has now a chain of restaurants. The original is on Oakland Park Boulevard. He has one in Seminole, Hard Rock, in Hollywood, Florida. And he has one at the Rio in Las Vegas. He's also started his own wine label. He has his own pasta sauces. And he has a cookbook and apparel line and is launching a jewelry line here, I believe, this week. So we are going to talk with him in just one moment. Let me first introduce Boyd to the show.
I would just like to say thank everybody for tuning in every week. And once again, I would just like to thank my man, Mr. Steve Martorano, for coming on Yo Cuz in the house tonight. And we're not going to hold the line up at all. We're going to pass the mic over to him, and he will formally introduce himself to the viewers. To you, Steve.
I want to hear you say Yo Cuz one more time.
Yo Cuz.
Yeah, that sounds great to me, Cuz. That sounds great, Cuz. That sounds great to me. Thanks for having me.
Yo Cuz is in the house. For sure.
That's right.
How's everybody doing? All right.
We're awesome.
Everybody,
how are you doing, Steve?
Good. I love what you're doing. I love the idea of what you're doing. If the streets don't love you back, well, that's a given. And that's never going to change, right? We all know that. We got to change, right? We got to change as a
people.
Amen. Yeah, we got to change.
Right.
So what do you want to talk about? You want to talk about my little life?
Definitely. Tell us what it was like growing up in South Philly. And also, I mean, your family was part of the mob. And how did you deal with that and stay away from it? And I know some of your family was, some wasn't. But obviously you saw it, you were there, you were around it. You know, tell us what it was like. And then just growing up in South Philly.
First of all, there ain't no such thing as the mob, right? We know that, right, Cuz?
Right.
I grew up. I wouldn't change my life. I wouldn't change where I grew up at, how I grew up, and the time that I grew up at. You know, born and raised in South Philadelphia, just a kid from a neighborhood whose family was connected. You know, they were connected. They were part of the Bruno crime family. My uncle was a leader. His name was Raymond Long John Martorano. How we got the name Long John's crew is always wore Long John's. was especially in the wintertime. So that's the truth. And he was a well-respected and an honorable man. And yet he did his time. He did his time in prison more than once. Did it for a long time. Kept his mouth shut. And within a year of his release, he was murdered. So with that being said, it tells you what. There's nobody's retiring on that hill in that life. Nobody's got that white picket fence and a little dog running around. Two ways, you're going to wind up dead or in jail for life. That's just what it is. I wish it was a little different, and then I think I could justify some stuff, but it's all the same. You're going to wind up dead or in jail. But I grew up in the 70s. My uncle was around Angelo Bruno, who was the boss of Philly. I loved that man. I was able to spend time with that man. He was close to my family. In fact, we had one of the biggest vending businesses in the time. It was called John's Vending, and Angelo Bruno was a salesman for that company. And for whatever reason, he was able to get stops for the vending machine business. And it was one of the biggest in Pennsylvania and South Jersey. Growing up in the streets, what were you going to be? You want to be either a gangster or whatever your father was. Now, my father wasn't—he was associate. He wasn't a made man. He worked for his brothers in the vending business, but he also was a loan shark and he lent money out. My father knew how to make money on the street, so he was a connected. And my uncle didn't really get made until Scarfo became boss. That's when he was made. But he was associated close with the mob in the 70s. So my name, Martin Rana, was always in the newspaper. Every day you wake up and something was written about my uncle. So everybody knew who I was. And that brought some kind of glamour to my life growing up. If I went to school or wherever, that's Long John's nephew. That's Joe Martin Rana's son. So the older you got and you started to see the respect that you got, if you went into a nightclub or a bar, there was a line around the corner. You walked up and let Long John's nephew in. And if I had my crew with me, we did the same thing. We all went in there and didn't have to pay for anything. So that was, every guy had wanted to be a Hollywood movie star. You didn't have to be because you were in your own neighborhood. So you were a star. You were somebody where normally you'd be nobody. Yeah. So with that being said, you were respected. So Most of all my friends' fathers were connected, so everybody knew everybody, and that's just the way it was. But then when the 80s came around, there was a new boss in town, and things changed when Scarfo became boss. And there was a lot of murders going on. And at the time, my uncle was doing a bid for a crime that was overturned. And then my cousin Georgie got pinched for a marijuana charge. My cousin George Bonarana, which is my Uncle Raymond's son, is the longest serving nonviolent offender in the history of this country. He's in prison longer than Mandela was in prison. Now, if you feel me on this one, a marijuana charge, and my cousin took a plea. Now, if you know anything about the judicial system, you take a plea and you're facing 100 years. Well, you take the plea, so you'll get a reduced sentence. So now the 100 becomes 50 or maybe 30, but you get a shot. You don't have to go to court. You don't have to pay all these lawyers. Well, he took the plea, and my cousin's lawyer was a corrupt lawyer who was very close with Scarfo, and the judge sentenced him to life without parole. It's an unjust sentence, and right now he's in there almost 30 years. For a non-violent crime, so we're hoping to get him home really soon. Life's 30 years. What are they going to do? After one more year, they're going to let him walk out? I mean, how they going to hold him? So with all this going on, I looked at my life and I says, okay, wait a minute. Everybody around me, who's getting killed? Who's ratting on this one? I looked at my family, all been away for forever. I had to do something, but I didn't have no other outlet. I was a street kid. I put money on the street. I made money loan sharking. I tried the drug business. I pushed my shit, whatever I had to do. But I knew that the end result was not going to be right. So what was I supposed to do? My father was also a truck driver for the vending business. So what was I going to be, a truck driver? The nuns in school told me I'm never going to be anything because I didn't like to study. I didn't like school. So I had to do something. I always loved music. So I wind up being a disc jockey back in the club days. And the Gambino family just happened to be coming into Cherry Hill, New Jersey. And they were only allowed because Mr. Bruno allowed them to come to Cherry Hill. And they opened up this club called Valentino's. It was pretty big back in the middle 70s to about the early 80s. And, you know, I went and applied for a job. They didn't even know who I was. I got hired. Then they realized that I was Raymond's nephew, and it only made things a little easier for me. So I was a nightclub guy and spun records. So I was making $100 a night. And you know, I worked 4 or 5 nights, 500 plus whatever I was doing on the side. I had a great life.
Right.
And then they opened up another joint in Atlantic City, which calls Casanova's, and I got real close with the Gambino family. I mean, really close. In fact, you know, we're friendly still today. But what really started to change my life is that I was planning on doing some kind of an event in Casanova's in Atlantic City, and they had their cousins running it. And I remember talking to them, and I said, listen, I want to do this thing on a Sunday. I want to make some money. And he said, yeah, no problem. Then the next day when I went back to finalize the deal, these two other guys came over to me and went like, nah, we're going to do this. I said, what do you mean you're going to do this? This is my gig. I want to do this. You know, we're the black hand. I never liked that saying, even though it's an old school saying. I just didn't like how they said that to me. And I walked the fuck away from them, the Gambinos. I walked away from all of them. And now, what was I supposed to do? I started spinning records somewhere else. There really wasn't much going on. My father, at the time, open up a bar in South Philly with a little kitchen. So as I was still playing little gigs here and there, he was running a restaurant, and I was trying to help him. I didn't know the restaurant business. I was only there helping him. And, you know, I would just taste food and put my little style, whatever you want to say, because my grandmother and my grandfather were great cooks. My mother was a great cook. My father was a great cook. So one day, you know, I kept saying to my father, Dad, we gotta improve this. We gotta spend money to make money. Now my father was the kind of guy who goes, No, you gotta make it, then spend it. I said, no, you gotta spend it to make it. Whatever we gotta do, let's just do it so we can advertise and make this place right. So we had a falling out, didn't work, and I walked out. So now I gotta make some money. I was spinning records, I was getting a little tired of that. I know everybody was going to jail. I said, what am I supposed to do? So I started a delivery business out of an apartment that I was living in. I made these flyers. It was called Steve's Italian Kitchen. Everybody laughed at me. What are you doing? Come with us. Let's go do this. And I knew there was something inside me that knew that, I guess maybe you want to say maybe I got a conscience, or maybe I have a sixth sense to something. But I knew that no matter what I did, I want to get pinched. I'm going to wind up fucking just going to jail. I want to have a headache. Or it costs me money for lawyers, because that's who makes all the money anyways, the lawyers. They take everything away from you. So I said, let me just try this. So I used to, by myself, go to neighborhood after neighborhood for 2 to 3 hours with a flyer, with a place that said Steve's Italian Kitchen, Italian Hoagies, with a phone number, no address, and I put it in the mailboxes, and I would wait for the phone to ring, and the phone wouldn't ring 1 week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, down. Lunch meat's going bad, I got to throw it away, then I go spin records at nighttime, every day, wake up, go buy the bread, go try a special, and the phone would never ring. About 2 to 3 months into this business, I'm getting fed up, I'm still spinning records here and there. Finally get a phone call. And the lady says, I want to order 2 hoagies. I say, okay, great. Now I'm already dressed. I got a suit on. I'm going to spin records. I make the sandwich. I take my suit off. I get in the car. I deliver the sandwiches. It was like $8.90. I made $1.50 tip. Right then and there, I went, I just sold my first sandwich. I made $1.50 tip profit. I said, it was like, wow, look, I got something here. So that moment was when I realized, hey, I could make this work. Just got, I believe in what I was doing. I just had to execute it. And before you know it, the phone started to ring. But what I was doing was illegal. day. So I get a phone call from a friend, tipped me off, said, the cops are coming, Steve. They're going to shut you down. You got to get out of there. That was my apartment I was living in. So I took the refrigerator, took the slicer. I went 30 blocks, and I wound up putting it in my mother's basement. I did that for 5 years. Steve's Italian Kitchen.
Wow.
I went from hoagies to selling spaghetti and meatballs, chicken cutlets and broccoli rabe, raviolis, whatever it was. I had my mother answer the phone. I would cook it. I got a delivery kit, and I started this little business.
Yes.
Am I talking too much? You got to tell me, because it was
on. No, you're rolling, baby. We love it.
Everybody, again, is still laughing. Look at Mart around. Look, what's he doing? He's delivering sandwiches. Like, it was a joke to everybody. But I knew once I could get enough money, I could open up a little place. So before you know it, I found a little takeout place, and I opened it up, and it was going really, really well. So well that I said, I need a sit-down place. So my father had passed away from an accident, and he had an insurance policy. My mother got it, and she helped me get that first little start. And I opened up this sit-down place, and it was doing really well. And the Iraqi war hit. The economy got a little messed up. And before you know it, people weren't coming out. They weren't spending any money, and I just wasn't going anywhere. Before you know it, I lost it all. There was no business whatsoever. So what do I do? Where do I go? I had two kids. I got bills to pay. So I might as well just go back on the street again. I always make money on whatever I had to go do. I was going to do it. And a friend of mine lived in South Florida. He played football for the Jets. He was his name was Ray Abruzzi. He was partners with Joe Namath. They were in the nightclub business in Florida called the Bachelor's Three. So I called him on the phone. I was talking to him. I said, listen, man, I ain't got no money. I lost everything. I says, what am I going to do? Why don't you come to Florida? You cook great. Come and make a start. So I went to this area called Carl Springs, about 30 minutes outside of Fort Lauderdale. It's a family area. I knew my kids. They said my kids could have grew up really good there. So I went there for a weekend just to take a look around. Everybody was in bed at 9 o'clock at night. And the Italian restaurants in Carl Springs were pizzerias. I said, what am I doing here? This is a joke. I'm a nighttime guy. What do I want to do? 9 o'clock, close my business. So the next day I was leaving to come back to Philly, never to come back to Florida again. I was just going to go do what I had to go do. I called Ray on the phone. I said, Ray, listen, I came to Florida. I went to Carl Springs. He said, what are you doing in Carl Springs? He says, there's a little place across the street to Fort Lauderdale, an Oakland Park and A1A. Go look at it. It's closed for vacation, but I know it's for sale. Go look at it. So on my way to the airport, never to go back to Florida again, I looked in the window. I said, this joint's for me. I got the number to the landlord. I got on a plane, went back to Philly, called the landlord. I said, listen, is it true this place? He said, yeah, it's for sale. It's hush, hush, buddy. You interested? And that's how my life changed to come to Florida. If I didn't find that, if Ray didn't say, go look at this joint, my whole life would be completely different. Completely different. So I came to Florida. I opened up this 800-square-foot little place called Martirano's. I was going to call it Pescatore's. I was going to call it Steve's Italian Kitchen. But then something said to me, you know, my uncle was away for a long time. I said, my name, I want to change my name. I want Martirano not to be known for something. I want it to be known for something negative, something positive. Just call it Cafe Martirano. So that's what I did. And I opened up this little spot. I cooked myself, had one dishwasher, one waitress. Before you know it, Dan Marino comes in, falls in love with the food. And now he's got his wife with him, and she says, excuse me, but can I get a CD? This music's great. Well, it's my CD, stuff that I had made. I said, no, I'll get you one, though. And I made her one, and I sent it to her. But before you know it, I start playing music a little louder. I had the TVs going on. I would play all my favorite movies, and I turned the restaurant into my personality, my music, my food, and my movies. Yeah, my movies are Godfather 1, 2, Bronx Tale, Mean Streets, Pope of Greenwich Village. That's what I am. I'm Italian American. I'm not embarrassed what my family's done. You know, my uncle did whatever he had to do because that's what he did. He provided for his family. Maybe he wasn't educated. He didn't ever have a chance to go to college. Didn't have a skill. His skill was on the street, and that's what he did, and I respect him for that.
My man.
So I wanted to change. I wanted to put something good with my name. And before you know it, you know, I start getting Tony Bennett would come in. Then I get a phone call to go to Connecticut at a casino, Foxwoods, and cook for the cast of The Sopranos. And I cooked for the cast of The Sopranos for 5 years. Before you know it, more people start coming in. Steven Tyler, Joe Montana, Tom Brady. Before you know it, you can't get into my restaurant. I had to be the only restaurant in the country for 800 square feet that had a 3.5 hour wait for food. People would come in, put their name in. We didn't take reservations. 3.5 hours to have dinner. They waited. Of course, we had an atmosphere. The food was worth it. Before you know it, now I take the store next door, took the store next to that. Now I got a 3,200 square feet. There's still a 2 hour wait Fridays and Saturdays. I got approached by Harris in Vegas to open up something with their company. They did that 5 years ago at the Rio Hotel. It's 5 years strong. 2 years ago, the Hard Rock came to me in Hollywood, Florida. We want to brand your name with our name. That's never been done in the history of the Hard Rock. Another name associated with the Hard Rock, and it's Martirana. So it's a co-branding batch. Here's a guy. Here's a kid. Never went to culinary school. Can't spell culinary. I can't spell it now. If you ask me, I can't spell it. No business sense. All I know is what to do, and I do it. And people are like, so how did this all happen? It happened because I believed in what I was doing. I believed in me.
My man.
There's a right way and a wrong way.
Without belief ain't no good, you know?
It don't work. It don't work. And the more people told me no, the more people I said, why not? Well, you can't. What do you mean I can't? Why not? Always why not. And the more it was no, the more I proved them wrong. And of course, I got a couple sayings, guys, and I'll repeat them to you. People want to see you get ahead, but they don't want to see you get that far ahead. Mm-hmm. And the more successful you become, that brings false friends and true enemies. And I can never understand that, because if my friend is successful, then I become successful because of association. If he has a brand new car, I can ask my best friend, can I borrow your car? If he's got a nice watch, cuz, can I borrow your watch? I reap the benefits of my friend being successful, not why is he got and I don't have. I want him to fail because I don't have it. That's one thing I fight with all the time. I don't understand why people have to be jealous of. Wish well for someone, it will come back to you. But you just can't say it. You have to really believe it, you know?
Right. Amen.
Yeah, and I think that comes back to, too, you know, if you really have a good friend, you should be supportive of them, not once they start being successful to turn around and be jealous and then just kind of walk away and not be there for them anymore.
People want what you got, but they don't want to put the effort or the work into it.
That's right.
Amen. Amen.
I just want to ask you something, Steve.
When you really got into doing your thing and you really got to prospering in the game of what you love, and that's cooking and enjoying people to, you know, enjoy your meal, how did that make you feel as a man?
I knew that what I was doing was right, and I knew that I was making people's lives better, happier. People would come to me. I had a bad day today, Steve, but after I ate here, you just made me feel better. So I got I felt good about myself that I was able to do something positive. But I also knew that the more successful I was becoming, the more humble I had to be. And being more humble, I had to say to myself, what can I do to show that I'm grateful for what I got? So what I decided to do, I always said that giving, true happiness comes from giving. When you give somebody something and you believe it in your heart, what you're doing is right. You get a feeling of satisfaction that's amazing. So I said to myself, what do I do here? So my girlfriend Marcia, who's got me involved with the Urban Broward League, Urban League of Broward, and these are kids that have difficulty in getting ahead, and they're heading in the wrong direction, right? So I said,
yeah.
Okay. Wait a minute, how do we touch this? We're not saving the whales, just trying to save a life. And so if I could get one kid out of 10, if I could get that one kid out of 10 to change his life, I accomplished something. Does it break my heart? Is it?
Right.
Give me 1 minute, cuz. Does it break my heart that I can't help all 10, right? That's
right.
A struggle.
Amen.
I got to deal with. But I'm going to try, right? So
right.
I'm going to try. Stay with me. So I'm going to try. So what happened was I've been blessed so much that an agency came to me and said, hey, kid, you deserve a TV show. So what do we do? Well, what do you want to do? We want to do a reality show. We want to show you running your business. We want to show the drama. We want to show you fighting, yelling, throwing people out. I said, no, I'm not interested in that. So I turned down 20 people to do that. Then finally someone said to me, what do you want to do? And I said, I want to do an inspirational show. I want to show a show that I can teach kids a skill. And I can say to them, you're on the street. Here you are. You're on the street. See the guy on the street that's selling drugs? He's making money. Making a ton of money. See the girls with him? They're sharp, ain't they? Yeah. See his car? That's a badass car. You want all that, right? Yeah. Okay. Take it. But I'm going to tell you this much. By the time you're this age, you're either going to be dead or you're going to be in prison. Now, all that life's going to go away. I can show you. You can have all the things that you think are important. I can show you a way to get that and not die young or go to jail and
exactly.
Not look over your shoulder. So I want to show you something positive and something where you can express yourself with. And maybe it's running a restaurant. Well, Steve, I probably never could afford a restaurant. You're probably right. But if you stick with me and you follow what I'm doing, maybe I'll put together a food truck and I'll give it to you. And you can go on your own and start a business. So the networks seem to be interested in this kind of show. So I'm hoping that flies and we're able to help these kids. So that's my goal now. I'm already successful because I came from nothing, turned my life around. My goal now is, one, is to get my cousin Georgie home from prison.
Right.
And the next thing is to do is to help get some kids off the street. It's sad because, you know, I live in Florida. There's scams every day going on. I mean, you got to see, like the other day, this lady, 9:30 at night, parks her car, and these two kids get out of her car with M&M boxes, and they're walking around trying to get people to buy their candy. I said to myself, come on, here's $100. Give me all your candy. I said, well, what's the sponsorship for this? What do you mean? Yeah, well, what do you sponsor? Well, we're not. Well, who's the boss here? Well, they're outside. I said, well, bring them in. So when they came in, it was like, what's this for? Well, we're trying to earn money. You want these two little kids to go to work? So you give them $1. You take 10. You take 9. They get $1 because they're broke. $1 is good to them. And you're exploiting these kids. Get the fuck out of here, I said, you know? So there's a lot of bad shit going on. I'm not trying to save the world, but there's a lot of shit going on. I want to try to help. I want to try to do the right thing with.
My man. And,
there's
and,
so
you know,
many
we
good
really,
things
that
we can do. Go ahead.
Right. And we really take our hat off to you for even being humble like you are and, you know, reaching out to those that's unfortunate. And like the old saying goes, you know, I can feed a man or a woman for a day, but I teach that man or woman how to fish. For a lifetime. So
we
appreciate you coming with that love and that respect of giving back to others, you know. And I'll pass the mic back over to my message.
Well, that's what I'm hoping for also. I'm hoping that God keeps blessing what I'm trying to do so it could only turn around and give the blessing to somebody else. It's not, this is not going to be easy. because fast money and easy money to a kid who ain't maybe eight today or goes home and ain't no mother and father, but the grandmother's raising him today. I mean, you know, we got a lot of obstacles. But if I'm able to, like I said, just get that one person out of 10 to change their life, then I've done something good today.
Amen, without a doubt, you know. And, Steve, I want you to, elaborate on your new book and let the viewers know where they can go pick that new book up and talk about that a little bit right now, you know. And don't forget, people, we're kicking it live right here tonight with my man, Yo Cuz, in the house. You heard me?
Like the way you say, I swear to God,
You
don't sound East Coast, but you sound West Coast when you say it. That's all right.
I'm from Detroit, Steve.
Okay. Great music town, cuz. Great music town. But here you go.
It's all good.
Like the book, my book, my whole life story. You can go to www.cafemartirano.com, www.cafemartirano.com, and you'll see what's going on. So what? After all this success that we're doing, I decided to write a book about my life story. Again, an inspirational book with recipes. It's not a cookbook, though there's recipes, but it's the story of my life. But how God works in mysterious ways, I became friendly with a producer in Los Angeles who now were almost finished a script of my life story, and then we're going to shop that. So keep me in your prayers that happens,
awesome.
Because that'll only bring more awareness to what
definitely.
We got to give here. But what's amazing is I try to tell people that I don't want to put limitations on anyone. People say to me, Steve, you're a chef. No, I'm not. I'm just a cook. I never went to school. I'm a neighborhood cook, and what I do well. So you should stay with that. Okay, well, why should I just stay with it? Because that's what you do well. So you're putting limitations on me. So I said, how can I preach to people or tell people about being successful and moving forward and not looking behind you? And if you slow down, people are going to pass you. If I say this, and all I'm doing is cooking, I need to show something else. So I said to myself, well, what else? I like jewelry. I think it's the phrase itself, yo cuz, means what it means, yo cuz, to me, is affection, which means if I'm in Philly or I'm in New York and I see a cousin of mine coming up the street, I wouldn't say, hi, Joe, hi, Dolores. It would be, yo cuz, how are you? So that's one way of using it. The next way would be just say you didn't know someone's name. And me and my boy sitting down, a guy's coming over, but I forget his name. I don't want to embarrass him and say, what was your name? I say, hey, cuz, how are you? And it works for everybody, not just Italians. Mm-hmm. Everybody can use the yo cuz. So I decided to come up with a jewelry line, and I partnered up with a jeweler, and we came out with this line that gets launched tomorrow. Levinson's Jewelry in South Florida, here in Fort Lauderdale on Las Olas Boulevard. It's an event for 200 people. It's been sold out for 2 months already. It's a red carpet affair. And I said to people, well, don't put no limitations on me. Why can't I? Well, don't tell me no. Tell me why not. So
right.
we got that. And I said, we're putting a clothing line together. The brand Yo Cuz, we own that. I own the name. Or put some hoodies together, some clothes together, some dungaree jackets,
some
sneakers, anything. It's Yo Cuz is an urban. It's an urban word. It's a term that
hear
to people. Yeah, so
right.
It just works. So,
that's like me and the missus walk up to you and say, "Hey, we ain't gonna say what's up, Steve. We're gonna say
right,
Yo
right.
Cuz.
Yo
what
cuz.
Up?
You know what's amazing? It's amazing that." When I'm around someone, if I was around you two for 1 week, I promise you this, in 1 week, you'd be saying that word. Because people are saying it. The other day, I was having coffee with my girl. This older woman, she had to be 66, with her husband. She hollers to me, yo, cuz, how are you?
Awesome.
it becomes viral, you know? It's like, you know, it's just a good feeling word. It's like, hey, I don't have a limitation. I don't know your name, but you're like my part of my family. What's up, cuz? How you doing? It just works.
Right.
So we got
tell the viewers, yo, cuz, what time do the cook show come on and where they can catch it at in the time? Give them that information.
It's an online show. You got to go to my website again, www.cafemortarina.com. We filmed it at the Hard Rock. The first season is done. We start filming the second season in March. It's the DVD's for sale too. It's on the website. The whole website is it'll blow your mind. There's videos. I did the Jimmy Kimmel show twice. I did the Monique show, which was. That started everything. When I did the Monique show, she made me, it was the first time I was able to tell my story. The response from people, let me tell you something. I know you know this, because a lot of people are hurting out there. They're hurting really bad. And all they want, all they're looking for is someone to love them. That's all they're looking for. And they're not getting it home. Everybody's running, doing something, and they're forgetting about just loving somebody. And somebody's got a problem, they got no one to talk to. You know, then they wind up doing stupid shit, like getting on a computer, talking to people they don't know, and they get themselves in the jackpot.
Right. And there's so many people on the internet that are not really who they say they are anyways.
Right. And, you know, I said to some of it, I said to my girl, you know, today, I says, we lost... I never had a computer growing up, so I used my brains to he depends so much on the internet to people that people don't think them. Well, now it's somebody's thinking for them, and that's sad.
Right.
Yeah. That's so sad.
Exactly. Yeah, we grew up, we had to think for ourselves, and we had
absolutely
to stay on our toes. You know, we had to stay focused. And, you know, nowadays, like I tell these young guys, when I go out and do my speaking engagements, I tell them point blank, you know, nowadays, you know, you disrespect everybody. You disrespect mama, the elders, and everybody, you know what I mean?
Yep.
You just
yep.
don't understand that coming up in my day, you might have did wrong in the neighborhood. You respected everybody in the neighborhood. Everybody ate. Everybody got money. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Grandma, everybody, you know, everybody good, you know? But
right.
y'all lost respect for yourself and your elders, and that's where the breakdown came. You know, nobody's sitting to get educated no more, you know, and running wild. So I had to just bring that back to the forefront, you know what I mean, that you're speaking out like that too, you know what I mean, yo, cuz?
There is. Listen, just like you, when we grew up, if you did something wrong, your neighbor could have smacked you in the back of your head if you did something
right.
wrong. But, I mean,
you're
today, nobody wants
to
wants to bother. Like, you're doing something wrong. They don't want to. They look the other way. No one cares. It's a me world. That's why you said it. There's no more respect. No more respect for other people. I'll tell you what. Next time you go out, open a door for somebody who's behind you. You won't even get a thank you. Nobody even saying anything. You know, everybody thinks you're out to hurt them. And it's sad because when you do look around, There are good people out there, like you two. There are good people out there, but when you watch TV anymore, it's all negative. Everything just seems to be negative. The whole world's about being negative, you know? I mean, I watched the president last night, and when he was talking about, put everything aside, what's the goal? The goal is to have a better country. What's the goal in society? To have a better world, not to live in fear. And that's only going to happen when there's unity. Right now, there is no unity. Everybody's just doing what they want to do.
Yeah, there's no unity right now.
So could we make a difference? Are you going to be able to make a difference? I don't know. But it's one thing I do know. I'm going to try.
Amen.
No, and we can. One person at a time.
That's it. That's all it takes. One person at a time.
You know,
bottom
and it's
line.
Like when we go to talk to these kids, too, at the high schools, and, you know, when just usually after every talk, there's several kids that come up and talk to us. And, you know, this one young girl in one of the Phoenix high schools came up to Rob after he spoke, and And she said, you know, you saved my life. And he said, what do you mean? And she said, well, you know, you were an inspiration to me because this weekend I was going to take a pack for a friend of mine from here to California. And now I'm not going to. You know, I realized that, you know,
right.
something could happen. And, you know, so it's just, and she was a young girl, you know, so... You know, there's just kids out there that, that haven't been taught. You know, they don't have people sitting them down and
just
telling them the real out there.
There was a, there's a, on YouTube, there was a story about this young kid, I forget what city he was from. He was friendly with a bunch of guys. They were friendly for a while, friendly. They knew each other, they were friendly. And this one kid kept saying to him, you got to take me to my, like say my grandmother's neighborhood, and the guy goes, that's a bad neighborhood, I don't want to take you there. And for weeks he kept saying, take me there, take me there, come on. Before you know it, the kid winds up saying, come on, I'll take you, but I'm going to drop you off and I'm leaving. Well, they wind up going, and they get to this area, daylight out, beautiful sunny day. The guy says, listen, just pull around back and then I'm going to show you the house. And the kid goes, parks the car out back, he gets out, and he hears click, click, and he looks, and he sees his arms falling off. And he just looked at the guy and said, did you just shoot me? And the kid backs it up again, pulls the trigger, puts a hole in his chest, knocks him down. And he's looking again, he's howling, like, did you just shoot me? And the kid actually hit him with the butt of the gun, grabbed his keys, took his car, and took off, think the kid was going to die. Take a long story short, the wind-up kid, he survives. The idea, the whole story was, why did this kid shoot him? Because he joined a gang. And part of the gang was he had to kill somebody. Mm-hmm. And he wound up trying to kill his own friend. If that shit happens on
wow.
the street today, we got problems. We really,
wow.
if a young kid can't value life, we got problems.
And nowadays,
right.
they, you know, they just have to go kill anybody. It doesn't matter who. So
Brandon.
It could be anybody.
I mean, I don't know the exact name, the Kings. What's the name of that gang? The Kings?
Latin Kings?
Latin Kings. You know, they got a thing. They drive up the street, down a road, and they shut their lights off. The first person
mm-hmm.
that hits them, like your lights are off, they go shoot that car up.
Right.
That's just crazy. It's just crazy. I mean, we live in a society that doesn't really care anymore. But like you said, one person at a time, maybe we can make a difference.
And that's
right.
the bottom line. You know? Hey, can you tell the viewers also, Steve, where they can go check George's website out, Free George website?
Free George Martorano, MARTORANO.com. Here's a guy that took a plea and got the worst sentence, life without parole. The judge was corrupt, the lawyer was corrupt. It was just a sad day for my cousin. And he kept his mouth shut. My cousin could have turned on 13 guys and he kept his mouth shut, and he's doing what he's doing. We will get him home. We will get
That's
him
right.
home.
And there's another group.
I'll tell you, this is a true story. I was doing the Housewives of Miami, you know, Housewives of Atlanta, Housewives of Beverly Hills. Well, there's a show called Housewives of Miami. And we filmed it in the restaurant. It was an episode. And when I'm cooking for these five girls, these ladies, one of the ladies says to me, oh, I love your tattoos. And I said, really? I said, I just got one on my back. I said, it's in honor of my cousin. I show it to her. And on my back, it has Coleman Federal, because that's where he's at now. Coleman is in Florida. And one of the ladies says, what did you just say? I said, yeah, in honor of my cousin. He's the longest-serving nonviolent offender. She says, do you know who I am? And I said, no, I don't know who you are. What are you? She said, my name is Leah Black. My husband's Roy Black. And her husband is the top five attorney in the country, Roy Black. She says, I'm an advocate for crimes, sentencings that are unjust. Send me all the information. I sent her all the information.
Wow.
Don't you think that Roy takes the case pro bono for nothing?
Wow.
and now he's trying to get him home. Is that amazing how that happened for my cousin?
Yes. Yeah.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah, we
Amen.
Can't wait to get him home. And there's so many people that, you know, not, I mean, just like that, have not been there as long as him, but there's so many people in prison on first-time drug offenses that are not violent, and they're in there for 20 to life.
How about it's marijuana, pot, weed is legal in certain states now.
Right.
Think about that. I don't
but
know.
They got Mr. George doing life without parole over the marijuana.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah.
I mean, and I wanted to ask you too, Steve, is the guy, the Scarfor, is he still living or where he at nowadays?
He's in prison for life. He's in prison for life.
Yeah, he was the one that had a lot of murders over him, right?
Yeah, it was when Bruno reigned from the 50s to the early 80s. You had no violence whatsoever. It was about making money. It wasn't about murder. Murder destroys business. It's not good for business. It brings heat on everybody. It's about making money. Well, when he got involved, everybody was murdered. Everybody.
Wow. Wow. Well, he should be close to in his 80s now, shouldn't he?
Yeah, I would say he's probably about 83, 84.
Wow.
Right. And he'll be there until his last breath.
Yeah, no, he'll die there. Again, a sad part of my Uncle Raymond, who was a loyal soldier, who became a made man, kept his mouth shut, did his time, came home and was murdered 2 years after that. So that doesn't even make sense to me. So it just tells me that life is over with. That there's nothing to that.
It's been over with.
It's been
very short-lived. That's right.
Yeah, it's very short-lived. And we want to know, do you have any people you would like to give a shout-out to, Steve?
All the young kids, I'm coming. Get ready for this big Italian guy, because I'm coming, cuz. I'm coming.
Your cuz is on his way.
Thank you for your time. Thank you for asking me to be on the show. It's been a pleasure. God bless both of you. Keep it real, and don't ever give up. Don't ever give up.
Hey, we appreciate that, Steve. And when you get off the line, Steve, when you get on Facebook today or tomorrow, inbox a mailing address to me. I'm going to autograph you a copy of the new book. And, you know, me and the wife just launched our new clothesline, and I wanted to send you something for my clothesline. You know, what size you got, Steve?
Double X, my brother, double X.
Okay, we got you, man. So inbox.
Okay, I'll send you a book, too. So you give me your address, too. We'll send you a book.
Awesome.
Okay, that sounds good,
hey,
man.
Hey, Steve,
let
the audience know about your sauces that you bottled up and that you have those out in stores.
Yeah, I came out with 3 jarred bottle sauces that are on the market here in South Florida. They're in like we have a Publix out here. I don't know what you have where you live at. Publix there's like 400 stores. We're in all of those stores, and it's doing really well. We're just waiting for this TV show. Once we could sell this cooking straight kind of show, that's when everything, this whole brand will blow up. And
oh.
everything that I sell with Yo Cuz, a percentage of that profit goes back to the Urban League. That's a
good
one.
Well,
you've worked hard for it, Steve, and you deserve it. You deserve
all that you
do, because you work extremely hard, and you've done it the right way. So you ought to be proud of yourself. We're proud of you.
Just keep me in your prayers, kid.
Definitely.
Without a doubt. And you know what's something else too, Steve? I meet Mr. George 3 years ago, and how will we ever guess 3 years later his cousin would be on the show, you know what I mean, our radio show with the Yo Cuz in effect. You feel me?
God puts people in people's lives for a reason. Don't know what that reason is, but it comes around the circle. So there's a reason why you did yours, the reason why I'm here, the reason why we're talking. There's going to be another reason why all this is happening.
That's
Amen,
right.
Man, and God is good, you know. And we want to just say, man, we appreciate you coming on the line. We send much love out
to your whole family, your kids, mom, everybody. You know, we just wish you much success on all what you got going on, your cuz.
Appreciate it, cuz. Thank you.
We know you got to get back to the restaurant. We're going to go out tonight, too, with I downloaded a little song about your restaurant.
Yeah,
we got
from your website. So we're gonna play that song here before we go out. And do you have a few more minutes, Steve?
Yeah.
Okay, well let's play this song and then we'll talk for a minute before we're up here. There you go.
Hey everybody, little, say hello and welcome you to the Cafe Moderano. Your host is Stevie. And he'll cook for you just the way that grandma used to. Now we welcome you to our venue. Sit back, relax, and check out the menu. Anything you may order, guaranteed to make your mouth water at the cafe.
Cafe
Moderno. Music is hotter and the food hits the spot at the cafe.
Cafe
Moderno. It is a unique atmosphere. People come from everywhere
just
to eat here at the cafe.
Cafe
Moderno.
Cafe Moderno.
Steve will pull out all the stops and have you licking your chops at the cafe.
Cafe
Moderno. Have some scuttle
and beans
while you watch classic movie scenes. And have an onion bun to kick off your meal. The homemade mozzarella's really the real deal. Shrimp scampi's out of sight. You're going to love every bite at the cafe.
Cafe
Moderno. Yo, cut. If you have the pasta bagel, hey, forget about it. You're going to have the second bowl. You'll talk for days about the lobster crunches. Stevie will prepare it in his South Philly way. Try linguine and clams. Spaghetti marinara. Pastina. Osso buco. All the fried calamari. Celebrities come here from South Beach just to have the meatballs and a little salty at the cafe.
Cafe
Moderno.
Cafe Moderno.
You're gonna find it is one of a kind. The cafe. And remember, within these walls, yo, cut, don't break Stevie's balls.
Don't break Stevie's
balls. All right, welcome back with my main man tonight, yo, cuz in the house. You heard me? So we thanking everybody for definitely viewing in, and I want to pass the mic back to the missus. But, hey. Go on out there and eat some of that good food, you dig what I'm saying, at Cafe Moderno and do what you do out there in Florida. You heard me? Back to you, sweetie.
That's right. Well, just Steve, any last words?
Yeah, that song was sung by Larry Chance. Now, Larry Chance is a Hall of Famer in the music world. It was Larry Chance and the Earls. They were big in the 60s, 50s, 60s. Came and ate one time. He ate one time. Went home and recorded that song for me.
You're kidding. Wow.
Yeah, it's an honor. It's an honor to have Larry Chance sing that song.
That's awesome.
Well, thank you again, and much success. And if you need me anytime, you just Facebook me or call me, whatever you need, I'm there for you.
Thank you so much, Steve.
I'll get that mailed out to you when
thank
you send that mailing, and we'll get that
all
mailed
right.
out.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank
See you later.
Much love always.
Okay.
Have a great night.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, that was a great show with us tonight. We had our main man tonight, Steve Montalbano, and that's our guy, Yo Cuz, in the house. So definitely be prepared for the Streets Don't Love You Back, and Yo Cuz to be doing some good things, too, you know what I mean? Because you just heard what it is. You know, we're going to send that package to him, and, you know, we're going to do some great things with helping save lives one day at a time together. You know, and we want to give a shout-out to my main man, Mr. George Montalbano, Steve's cousin. And we're just thanking Mr. George for being a good person that he is. And you'll be home real soon, Mr. George. Back to the mission.
That's right. And we'd just like to thank everybody in the chat room for joining us and everybody that's listening online. And you know, we're going to close out tonight, and we just ask you to join us every Wednesday night, 8:30 Pacific time, 11:30 Eastern time. And you can log into our website at www.thestreetsdontloveyouback.ning.com, and you can find out more about us. You can find out, go to our store page and see our clothesline that we've launched. You can go back and archive any of the radio shows that we've had in the past. And if you want us to come out and talk to your school in your area, please let us know. We're still arranging our 2012 speaking engagements. And February will be in Detroit, and in March we'll be out in Atlanta. So get with us on that, and until next week, have a great week, and remember, the streets don't love you back. Good night.
Amen. Take care.